Welcome. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That means each one of us here are blessed. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of God's glory. All glory be to God Most High. Blessed is the Lamb who comes in God's name. Hosanna in the highest. We call upon and trust God for mercy, love, hope, and faith. We ask for blessing and to be sanctified with word and spirit of God in this worship of God. We are gathered here by God who calls us each by name. Jesus says, all are welcome. Now, if you will turn to the back of your bulletin, where offerings of ministry, missions, and hopes for our congregation and beyond these walls, and all that are listed are invitations to everything that is there. You want to go ahead and start to pass out those as I'm doing these announcements? We have cookies. Bill Lair cookies. Enjoy these, because after next week, I think he will never bake again. They have palms on them. They have Hosanna on them. They are absolutely beautiful and delicious. You also are each to take one of these bracelets. They have different things. This says Friends in Christ. There are different, about 150 different kinds to remind you that we go into a most sacred, holy week this week. This is Palm Sunday, a celebration and entry into Jerusalem before a long, long journey for Christ and for followers of Christ. Today we will celebrate and receive Margaret Rose Piatkowicz's confession of faith, a most glorious time in the life of loving, believing, and following Jesus. We will also have an Easter egg hunt at 10, after this worship service at probably about 11:30. And April 13th, we will have Thursday, we will have Maundy Thursday worship of God at 7 o'clock. And on Friday, April 14th, Good Friday worship at 12 noon. Please try to come to one or all of those. And then next Sunday, Easter Sunday, we have all kinds of offerings. We have sunrise worship at 8 a.m., breakfast 9 to 10, and 10:30 worship of God with Holy Sacrament of Baptism, baptizing Margaret Rose Piatzkiewicz. Everyone is invited. Please try to be here. Sisters in Christ will have a special program offering tonight. It is about a mission to the Holy Land. Jeannie and Doug's daughter, Jackie, will be offering to us a program at 7 p.m. All men, women, children, teens. Everyone is invited to be a part of that. Pictures are being taken this week. We want your sweet face in the pictorial. We haven't had a new one for 5 years, and so we would like for everyone to participate in that. And the Bible study continues Tuesday evening, 6 to 6:30 meal, and then Bible study at 6:30. Please plan to attend. You don't have to have attended before. There are extra books here, and each one is a separate entity in and of itself. And today is the last day to order lilies, so just know that. Are there any other announcements? Let's applaud. Yes, yes. We had prayer vigil on the 7th and 8th from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., and we had 100% praying for every slot on that prayer vigil, that 24-hour prayer vigil. That goes out throughout the world this whole week. And so we just give thanks that we have a faithful praying congregation. And I also want to thank Bill Lair, who has given us these delicious cookies every week and has had to start early in the week and prepare and put icing on and all of that. So we just thank you. And I tease him about it, but it is a true joy and servant way. So let us stand for our call to worship. Let us pray our call to worship.
Please remember to sign your attendance pad and pass it down the pew. And if you would join me in the call to worship. Awake to the day of triumph for our Savior. Come with your branches, hosannas, and songs.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
You will find the opening hymn on the printout in your bulletin, please.
Save us, O
us greet one another as brothers and sisters in Christ.
If you would like to follow along as I read our verse today, it is the Gospel of Mark 11, 1 through 11, in the New Revised Standard Version. It's on page 41 in your New Testament in the Pew Bibles if you want to follow. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and it will be sent back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the passersby said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, so they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread their leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late. He went out to Bethany with the 12.
I'm back. Good morning. Pastor Evie found this story and asked me to share it with you today. So I want you to imagine that you wake up tomorrow and everything is turned upside down. You wake up, you go to your parents' room, say, "Mom, Dad, it's time to get up." You rush around, you put their clothes out, and you head downstairs. And you say, "Oh, Mom, by the way, don't forget, brush your teeth." So you go down and make breakfast, and they hurry down. You shoo them off to the school bus, or you jump in a car and you drive them to school. That's all different. Or maybe when you go to school, you walk by the principal's office, and you see the custodian sitting in the principal's chair. And he's given out the morning announcements. And then you look on down the hall, and there's the principal. He's cleaning up a mess that someone else had made. Well, I think God would really like a day like that, because there's a story in the Bible that's similar to that. Even though Jesus was the Son of God and much wiser and holier than all the other people at the dinner table, Jesus grabs a towel and a bowl of water and starts washing his friends' feet because they were all dusty from walking around. That is something the servant would normally do, right? So today is Palm Sunday, when we remember how Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. That is the story about God doing the opposite of what you would expect. Usually kings and armies and other really important people who ride into town on a donkey or fancy horses, not a donkey, but fancy horses. And through the town, they would have a big parade where all the important people would come out and celebrate with them. But poor Jesus, he rode in on a lowly donkey. The most important people in the town did not like Jesus and definitely would not throw him a parade. But the people who liked Jesus got excited and waved palm branches to celebrate with him. That made their own parade. God is full of surprises. Heavenly Father, we praise and honor your name, and we glorify these children as they come here every Sunday to learn about your words of wisdom and your offerings to this community and to the world. Amen.
Good job, Mr. Stewart. Hi, sweet girl. Hi. Let's see where that is. I'm going to ask your family to come up here, too. We need that. Miss Maggie, in her infinite wisdom, is going to hold this so that you may be able to hear her. But we were talking about she is offering herself to God. And so she's going to hold this offering plate because she is offering and praying and promising God that she will follow God. She's going to give her confession of faith today, and then next week we will have the Holy Sacrament of Baptism of Margaret Rose Piatskiewicz. Although Disciples of Christ as a denomination make a point that no creedal statement should ever stand between the believer and Christ as a test of fellowship, the Church has always baptized persons in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And therefore it is deemed appropriate for the candidate to vow their confession of faith that will be affirmed in their baptism. The denial of evil and confession of faith is to ready sweet Margaret Rose Piatskiewicz for the Holy Sacrament of Baptism. And know this deep in your heart, Maggie. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, and that is you. Margaret Rose Piatskiewicz, I now ask you these questions. Do you deny evil, say your sorries for wrongs, ask for forgiveness, and turn to Christ? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Now repeat after me your vow before God and all those here. I, Margaret Rose.
I, Margaret Rose.
Confess that Jesus.
Confess that Jesus.
Is the Christ.
Is the Christ.
The Son.
The Son.
Of the living God.
Of the living God.
And accept.
And accept.
And proclaim him.
And proclaim him.
As Lord.
As Lord.
And Savior.
And Savior.
Of the world.
Of the world.
Margaret Rose, God and this faith family have graciously received your confession of faith in Jesus the Christ. Looking forward to next week to your baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask blessings of trust, hope, and belief in our Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me, please? Creator God, who is in the beginning, hovering over the waters, who at Jesus' baptism descended in the form of a dove, who at Pentecost was poured out under the signs of fire and wind, come to us, open our hearts and minds, so that we may hear the life-giving word and be renewed by your power in the unity of the Father and Son, now and forevermore. Amen. You may applaud our most recent. Thank you so much. You are blessed. It always makes me cry. Sorry. Well, no, I'm not really sorry. We share our concerns and our joys in this time of praying. And our joys we share so that they might be multiplied among us. And we share our sorrows, our worries, our concerns, our troubles among our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they be divided and that the burden of carrying them alone be lightened. And so I just ask that you allow me to introduce and lift up some already that are on my heart. And then for those of you that have others that are in need of our Lord's healing touch, please lift up your hand and we will lift them also. We pray for Gladys Wagner, who was not feeling well last week. She was having some leg trouble and was going to come to our anniversary party, but did not want to come in a wheelchair. And so we just ask prayers of pain relief and that she be back her spry self. And she's 98 years old now. So we lift her up to the Lord and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for Karen Harden, who also has a knee issue. They were going to be the dates for the party. And she is having trouble with her knee and she's in doing some exercises for that. And so we ask for great mobility and no pain so that she can get back to what she wants and needs to do. And so we lift her to the Lord for healing, and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. We continue to pray for Richard Isley. He's had a very, very rough week, but went back to his oncologist on Wednesday. He readjusted some medications for him, and he's doing better. And so we lift he and Linda, who walks this journey with him, up in our prayers. They crave to come here and they miss all of you. And so I just ask that you call them if you get an opportunity. Cards are nice, but he'd like to hear voices of his faith family. And so we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. We continue to pray for Marilyn Trout. She is missed in the choir. She misses being in the choir. She went back into the Methodist community for rehabilitation to get stronger so that she might be able to come back. And so we just thank the Lord that she is progressing, and we lift her up for better healing and wholeness. And so we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for all those that serve and protect, for those that keep us safe. When I asked Miss Maggie about ministry, I said, what does ministry mean for you? And I thought she was going to say pastor or something like that. And she said, my mom, I said, who is in ministry for you? And she said, mom, dad, and grandma. And I said, really? I said, well, what is your mother's ministry? And she said, taking care of other people, making them well. And I said, in your dad's ministry? And she said, to protect people. And I said, what about grandma? And she said, well, she's working in the food pantry. So she knows, she gets it. She really does. And we were talking about when she was in the program on Christmas Eve, and she put on that role and that costume of Mary. From the point that she put that on, she put those little hands together, and there was a reverence about her until she completed that. And then Karen Harden shared this morning that she had her help carry the offering down. And she said there was such care and such reverence. And she said there was just an aura about her. So we are much blessed by our Miss Maggie. And it's an honor to have spent some time with her. And I just want her to know that we're all here no matter what. If she needs spiritual help and support, we are here for her. And so we lift up those that protect us and who serve in any capacity, and we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. I pray for all pastors at this time. This is a very demanding, spiritually, physically, emotionally week for pastors all over the world. Egypt just had a bomb that went off in a church. And so for those that are in places where they can be harmed, or for those that are just doing the everyday stuff that we do, just ask prayers to lift pastors everywhere. And we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for peace and safety for those who are vulnerable to violence anywhere and around the world and in our neighborhoods. And we lift them up for safety. And we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. Are there any others that you would like to lift up in prayer? Yes. Yes. Okay. Do you want to share his name or not? Okay. All right. Martha has a young friend that is struggling. And so God knows what he needs, and so are she. And we lift them up to the Lord, and we say, oh, Lord, hear our prayers. Yes. Yes, thank you, Deb. We lift up Mike, who is in the last stages of cancer, and his daughter, Krista, who is 19. It is never easy, but it's never particularly easy when you're young, and you may not have the spiritual and emotional and physical support that you need. And so we lift them up to the Lord, and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you, Deb. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Do you know what time? I'm sorry? 1 o'clock. We lift up Amy as she goes in for yet another surgery, and her children, her family, as they wait for the outcome of that. And we just ask blessings on the doctors and nurses that are providing all of that. They are wonderful in what they do. They love her very much. And so we lift her up for success, and we lift you up as you wait. And so we lift them up to the Lord, and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. Anyone else? Yes. Oh, yes, Eileen. Oh, yes. Her last name is Dalton. Her daughter was struck with ALS, which is a horrifying thing to go through. And so Betsy Dalton is your neighbor, and we lift her up as she's lost her daughter way too young and to something that caused great suffering and will for a while. And so we lift her up to the Lord. We know that she is with the Lord, but we lift up Betsy and all who knew and love her, and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you, Eileen. Yeah. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Let's go to God in prayer. Oh, I'm so sorry. Would you turn to page 307 so that we don't have to be going through our hymnals? That's the Lord's Prayer at the end. I forgot to tell you that. So that we can stay in an attitude of prayer at the end of the pastoral prayer. Take a big, deep breath of God into your soul. Just breathe right into your soul and let go all that troubles you, all that weighs you down, and be in the presence of our Lord. Jesus, Lord of the journey, we thank you that you set your face firmly towards Jerusalem with a single eye and a pure intent, knowing what lay ahead, but never turning aside. Jesus, Lord of the palms, we thank you that you enjoyed the shouts of Hosanna from ordinary people like us, living fully in the moment of welcome and accepting their praise. Jesus, Lord of the cross and the empty tomb, we thank you that you freely entered the heart of our evil, our pain, along a way that was both terrible and wonderful, as your kingship became your brokenness
and your dying became the triumph of undying love. Jesus, Lord, who sees our hearts and knows our innermost thoughts, we can deny our wrongs to ourselves, but we cannot hide them from you. As we confess our sins, let us do so knowing we say nothing that is not already known to you, Jesus, Lord, who is not fooled by our strength, but loves us in our weakness. We have denied you, and we have denied our calling fully to serve one another. We have betrayed you, and we have betrayed your commandment to love one another as you would have us do, as you love us. Pour out your spirit of grace upon us, we pray, Jesus, Lord. Teach us to love and serve you faithfully, and to love and serve one another by the example you have set for us. Now, you, Lord Jesus, you have been glorified and God has been glorified in you. Now the promise is fulfilled and love's redeeming work is done in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Son of the living God. We are forever forgiven. Thanks be to you, God who is love. Now our Savior comes to us humbly, riding a donkey and proclaiming a message of peace. Let us pray for the church, for the earth and all its creatures, and for all people in need, saying, God of mercy, hear our prayer. We ask that Christians hear and share the word of you, O Lord, that all leaders of church and state prefer humble service to empty power, that all live with gratitude for the gifts of nourishment, friendship, family, trust, patience, and hope, with the courage and wisdom to change whatever fails to be life-giving. O God of mercy, hear our prayers. That we might live with gratitude for our ancestors whose faith and witness have nourished our own, that all who mourn today will be comforted, that we who hope to greet Jesus when he comes again will be ready and be filled with joy. God of mercy, hear our prayers. Now, God, our Creator, you show your sons and daughters the way to freedom through the gentle obedience of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and who taught us to pray. Let our hosannas to the one who brings liberation of body, mind, and spirit take form in our tithes and our offerings.
Our most gracious Lord, bless these gifts and the givers. May they and we be blessings in doing the work of our church, our community, and across the world. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Beautiful, and thank you again. We are about to listen for God's message in these, and so I ask that we pray to our Lord, that the Lord bless whatever it is that we need out of these words. So take a big, deep breath of God into your soul and let down and out and surrender to God all that troubles you and distracts you from this place. And let's go to God in prayer. Faithful and loving God, may what we think and what we say and what we do be pleasing in your sight. May these words honor you. May the message be strong for each one of us, for we cannot live your will, your purpose, and your love for us if we do not know what it is that you want for us. And so bless these words, and may your message be strong, and may I do credit to everything that you are and give glory to you only. It is in the sweet and holy and precious name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, your Son, that we pray and ask these things. Amen. Imagine yourself as an interested bystander that morning, that day, as Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. They didn't call it back then. In fact, they probably didn't wave palms. It says green, leafy, whatever. But palms are okay, because it all is about Jesus
and celebration of Jesus. Jesus is bringing us into Holy Week. He will walk us to that last meal of memory. He will walk us to betrayal, and he will walk us through the suffering, and then the death, and then resurrection on Easter morning. But there are things that must be done before then. Disciples, if you could sit right in front of them and ask them anything, what questions would you ask? What questions would you ask of Jesus if you were face to face with Jesus on that day in Jerusalem? What questions would you ask of him? And what questions does the Palm Sunday event raise and stay and leave you with? These are things to think about when we think about Palm Sunday. It is believed that two processions entered Jerusalem on a spring day in the year 30. It was the beginning of the week of Passover, the most sacred week of the Jewish year. One was a peasant procession, and one, the other, was an imperial procession. From the east, Jesus rode a donkey down the Mount of Olives, cheered on by his followers. Jesus was from the peasant village of Nazareth. His message was about the kingdom of God and peace and love and hope and eternal life. And his followers came from the peasant class. On the opposite side of the city from the west, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Idumea and Judea and Samaria, entered Jerusalem at the head of a column of imperial cavalry and soldiers. You see the difference. One, kings of the time were warriors. They wouldn't be caught dead riding a donkey. It was humiliating. And so this king comes in on a grand horse, leading his legions behind him. And then there's Jesus with the peasants from a peasant village coming into Jerusalem for this celebration. It was a beginning of a most extraordinary day in the life of Jesus. The Jewish Passover, the central festival of all of the Jewish people, a festival fueled by memory. One burning, searing memory, the memory of slavery and deliverance and freedom, liberation from slavery in Egypt. They remembered it and what they ate and what they did and what they sang and what they said. In every get-together, they remembered it. And now it was very important to remember because they were almost enslaved again under the chariot wheels of Rome. So they are hoping once again for freedom. And they see Jesus as the one to do that. All four Gospels tell this remarkable stories of the pilgrims coming into the city at the time of Passover. Pontius Pilate was nervous with the unrest of many that were entering into Jerusalem. But it was a beautiful day, a beautiful time, electric with all kinds of expectation. And all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell the story of singing and dancing and putting branches on the road and hailing Jesus, the peasant's way to celebrate a king, but a different kind of king. But Mark's account is different. It's unique. If you compare it with the others, especially with Matthew, it seems subdued and too restrained. There are not enough balloons in the air, in other words. Something's not right. Something is missing in Mark's account. And don't ask me what. I don't know. But I do know the celebration is not as free, not as fun, not as vibrant as in the other Gospels. Sometimes the Bible tells me things I do not want to know. Jesus prayed all night, and at the end of praying all night, in the morning, that next morning, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, the writer says, came, and he was going to betray Jesus. And then it's said several times after. But when I first met Judas in Scripture, I had been introduced to Judas Iscariot, and it says it, he betrayed Jesus. And it was confusing and an awful thing for me. I thought this man must have no goodness in him, must be full of evil if he could betray Jesus in such a way. It was even more confusing when I discovered Judas was one of the 12. He was an apostle. That meant he walked with Jesus. He worked with Jesus. Was with Jesus. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He preached the gospel. He was with Jesus passing out bread to the 5,000. He was in the boat in the storm when they all bowed down and worshiped Jesus. And he was with Thomas when Thomas said, "Why don't we go to Jerusalem and die with him?" And Judas said, "I'm with you." I wanted to meet without the right me. But it was even more confusing that he had such goodness, had done such goodness, and then betrayed him. Such a tragical way of betrayal. And maybe you and I become uncomfortable. We realize that we too sometimes betray Jesus and practice a watered-down discipleship. The very first disciples share our human weakness in that way. Another thing I don't want to read in this story of Mark is that three times he tells us that this parade is going to end at the cross. You know, when I was a child, I never thought about that. I thought about the parade. I thought about the waving of the palms. That's what Palm Sunday meant to me. I didn't think about the darkness at the end of the week. He tells us, this isn't a parade. It's a funeral procession. This is not a parade ending in some park or downtown Franklin with trumpets and a band, with people wearing funny hats. This parade will not end with people carrying Jesus on their shoulders yelling, "Behold, this is your king." So it makes us want to say, stop. Hold on. Do you know? Do you have any idea what's going on and how this is going to end? They should know. For they were with him in Galilee and Nazareth when they tried to kill him. And in Capernaum, where there was an assassination plot. Just what do we think, what do they think is going to happen here with all this cheering and happiness? It reminds me of when I was at St. Vincent Hospice, and there were people in those rooms that were passing on to God. And the children would run up and down and play hide and seek and laugh and giggle and sing and dance as their member of their family, their grandma, their grandpa, their aunt, their uncle, was close to returning home to God. In 30 rooms, there were misery and anxiety and grief and children passing out laughter and joy like lollipops. Do you think we told them to be silent and sad? Is that what we are asking the followers here to do, to be solemn and sad because of what comes later? Well, we didn't. We didn't tell them that they had to be quiet because the people that were in those rooms loved the sound of new life. They loved the sound of children. They were there in that time of life just before the dark. And patients and family being able to better face the dark with babies laughing in the hall. Fresh life. The only reason for doing what they are doing in this text This shouting and dancing and singing on the way to crucifixion, singing and shouting and dancing on the way to the place of the skull, I believe, is this extraordinary faith and hope and love beyond the darkness and memory of life. Just as the children in hospice and believed where their grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle was going, when some were blissful, joy reigned. Joy reigned. We know it was true with some of the women that followed Jesus. Mary, Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Susanna, and others. They were there when he was crucified. They were there when he was buried. And on Sunday morning, they were there early to prepare the body because he was buried in such a hurry. And they were there because love drew them there. Hope, faith. And when they were stopped on the way out of the cemetery and asked, "How can you do this? He is dead." One of them must have said, "Because we are persuaded that neither life nor death, things present, things to come, height, depth, angel, demon, anything else in all creation, nothing, just nothing, can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, abides and reigns victorious." That's the way to explain Palm Sunday. Extraordinary love, faith, and hope. Amen. I invite you to this table as an emissary, really, because where we come from or where we are going, Jesus invites all to partake in this. This God of grace and abundance pours out upon me. You ask for forgiveness, and before you can even get the words formed, Jesus grants us more grateful hearts. Now, as people who live as forgiven and freed, let us prepare our hearts to give thanks and to receive living bread and cup of mercy by singing hymn number 90. Some Christians join to sing. You may remain seated, please.
Our dear and gracious Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the joyous entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, Let us be ever mindful of the events that followed. Our precious Lord was then vilified by these same people. He was placed on the cross and gave his life willingly so that we may have eternal life. As we partake of this bread, let us remember that this represents his body freely given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, we come together as your people to praise and thank you. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, the day when Jesus, our King and Savior, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to celebrate Passover. He knew what was coming in the days ahead, but went willingly for all of us. As we take this cup, the cup of light and life, let us give thanks for your love and sacrifice. Help us to retain your light in the weeks to come and let it shine, especially when the darkness tries to surround us. We pray that your light will shine through us and to others this holy week. And Father, may your Holy Spirit guide our words and actions as we strive to serve others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
On the night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he gathered those disciples together. He took bread and he gave thanks for it. And he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. For as often as we drink of the cup and eat of the bread, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again." I hope that you will join us at any or all of these offerings of our worship of our Lord Thursday evening at 7 o'clock here, and Friday, Good Friday, at 12 noon. It will be open to the community. It's been in the paper. It's been, I've put it on Facebook. So please invite those that you know would treasure that experience. And then, of course, sunrise service, 8 o'clock next week, if you want to come and attend that. And then breakfast, Easter breakfast, and then 10:30 worship. And Margaret Rose will be baptized at that time, so we will celebrate the Holy Sacrament of Baptism. So we have many beautiful things, beautiful ways in which we will worship God this week. There is an Easter egg hunt. You don't have to be a child to hunt for eggs after this worship. So we're going to sing hymn number 192, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." And let's sing 1 and 3, and then I will bless you out into the world. Now, if you will bow your heads into your hearts and find God there, I will bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May when you leave here, you feel anointed by our precious Lord. May when you leave here, you know Jesus walks with you wherever you may step. May when you leave here, you believe that your life is a gift of grace. And may in your belief you use your life of grace to give glory to God. Now stand tall in your humbleness and go with joy, for God loves you and looks upon you with favor. Peace, faith, hope, and great love be your anointing today and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.
Amen.